This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey, hey, what's going on, beautiful Black woman? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, a show for Black women who are looking to get to where the healing and wholeness resides. My name is Bree Mitchell. I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Let's go ahead and just jump right into this topic. This one, y'all, it might sting a little bit. I'm just saying, it might sting a little bit. But, you know, I am not one to shy away from topics that can open up discussion, allow us to check in with ourselves, and even invite some new perspective and healing, right? So let's just go ahead and get into it. Now, again, as I mentioned in a previous podcast episode, I want to make sure that as much as possible, I make space for you to you know, view this podcast as an invitation to slow down, to rest, to stop what you're doing and instead, do something that will just allow you to lean into this space a little bit more. So if you have room to do that, then I want to invite you to do that. So if you need to press pause, make a cup of tea, get you a glass of water, light a candle, get your journal or whatever the case may be, or just, you know, find a space to just sit down and just be. If you can do that right now, then I want you to go ahead and do that, okay? Because I just want to make sure that as much as possible, we are making space for ourselves to honor our humanity, really, right? And that looks like setting aside productivity for a while. So let's go ahead and get into today's episode. I'm going to be sharing four things. Let me find my notes while I'm talking, y'all, on my computer. Four ways that, I mean, let's just go ahead and talk about it. Four ways you may not be as safe of a space for Black women or your village as you might think that you are. Again, this one is, it might touch upon a few nerves, okay? It might have you feeling some kind of way, right? And I didn't just pull this topic out of the air. These are things that I, over the course of time, after really doing some reflection, okay, these are four things that I noticed that I was doing. And that's how this topic came to fruition. Like, I knew that I wanted to talk about this at some point. And so I think that now is a good time. You know, without community care, it's really hard to have just to be able to do self-care. And so we want to make sure that we are building each other up and building up our squads, our communities, our villages, you know what I mean? Our sister circles, etc. Because there is nothing better than being able to be in relationship and to be able to receive love from another Black woman. And I'm speaking from experience as someone who has quite a bit of wounded or harmful experiences when it comes to relationships with women in my past. So let's go ahead and jump into this. Now, you may not do any of these things. This is not like a me pointing the finger at you kind of thing. You may not do any of these things, but I still want you to listen because there might be some ways in here that you might be on the receiving end of these things, right? So perhaps you're in a squad, a sister circle, whatever, and you're like, something about this doesn't feel quite right with one of the ladies or whatever, right? So maybe you're on the receiving end of these things. So it could be that. You could be a mixture of both, all right? So let's go ahead and get into these things. Again, this is not judging, not being said with judgment, without, this is not being said with malice or anything like that. But, you know, I'm speaking from my personal experience, and I want to share that with you so that you can identify if this is you, if there's some work to be done, some healing to be done in a few areas. If you're on the receiving end, like I said before, maybe you need to have a conversation or do some self-reflection and see if this is the best place for you, right? So let's go ahead and get into these four things. So number one, again, four ways you may not be as safe a space for Black women as you might think you are. First thing is, do you give her grace? So when I'm asking these questions, like, I'm going to give you four questions for you to kind of think about, right? And when I say her, I'm talking about your friend or a bestie or whomever, someone in your squad, someone in your tight circle, someone in your village, okay? These are just four ways that I want you to think about and do some reflecting on to see if you can identify yourself in any of these things or any of your current circumstances or relationships. Again, whether you're doing these things or not doing these things, or you're on the receiving end of these things I'm going to be talking about, okay? So again, number one, do you give her grace? Y'all, I was not a person of grace. It took some time to get to this place, okay? This is not a rush and bada boom, bada bing, it's done, you're healed, hallelujah. That's just not how it works, especially when the triggers and the pain runs deep, okay? So again, this is why I'm saying this is not done with judgment. Give yourself grace I'm telling you to give yourself grace, just like number one, actually, as a matter of fact, if you feel like you can identify with any of these four things. So again, number one, do you make room for grace? Do you give her grace? I'm going to give you a perfect example. So recently, in case you do not know, I do podcast coaching, and I coached someone maybe like a month or two ago, if I'm not mistaken. I can't recall the exact date. And this person is a beautiful soul, and she has a podcast, obviously. And we had confirmed a certain date and time for me to go ahead and do this 4-hour intensive, like, VIP coaching session. Okay. And I don't know if it was the day of, so just so you know, so I like clear my calendar. This time is just for you. I block out other things. I change my schedule, you know, those kind of things, right? Because I want to make sure that I show up for you if we're doing this like coaching experience, right? And so we scheduled a date like, a, you know, 2-3 weeks in advance. And then maybe the day before, she sent me an email and she was like, hey, Bree, I had a family circumstance that popped up. I'm going to need to reschedule this. And so, very long story short, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Because she had explained to me what was going on. To me, what was going on was definitely a priority. I was like, absolutely, girl, do your thing. Let's link up again on another date. She agreed to that date. And so we moved on. And then when that date came, I think it was that same, like the morning of, she reached out to me. This is like a couple of weeks later. And she was like, Bree, and she was having like a minor, I don't want to say medical issue and allow you to think that it was like some life or death situation. It wasn't that at all, but I'm not trying to give away any specifics or details out of respect for her. And just because they're not very relevant anyway, but she had a small, how about a minor medical concern. Again, not life or death, but I could tell in her message, you know, that this was something like when we coach, I want you to be able to show up, you know what I mean? Like mentally be able to show up so we can go ahead and connect and do this work. And so I was like, you know what, girl, go to the doctor and get that taken care of and we will reschedule. It's totally fine. It's okay. And so we selected another date and then eventually we were able to connect and I did her coaching day and all that good stuff. So it was all good. I'm telling you this to say, all that to say, it's like being able to extend grace to another Black woman is major because we don't regularly get that grace that we, in fact, want to receive. You know this to be true. And so it's like if a Black woman can't get that from another Black woman, then it's like all is lost. That's how I feel. All is lost. Like we need to be able to have compassion and grace for other Black women. Like no questions asked, right? And so the old Bree would have had an attitude, and I don't even know what the old Bree would have done other than have an attitude. Maybe would have been petty, like, you done this two times, you know, you need to, I'm trying to think what the old Bree would do. I don't even know, honestly, but I'm sure I would have been feeling some kind of way at minimum and had an attitude, okay? That I can tell you for sure. I don't know exactly what the old Bree would have done, but I can guarantee you the old Bree would have had an attitude and would have been like irritated, right? But this more whole and healed version of Bree was like, yes, heard. I understand this. These things are more important. Get yourself taken care of and let's circle back, right? And so again, number one, are you able to give grace to other Black women? Okay. So that's number one. Number two, do you allow her to tell you no without it becoming a problem? I'm going to say that again. Number two, do you allow her to tell you no without it becoming a problem? Right? So I don't really have a specific example for this from my past, but what I can tell you is, you know, allowing Black women to say no it's really in honor of their mental health and their needs, right? It's about you allowing them to honor their humanity without it becoming this big drama-filled event or you turning it into a story, like you internalizing it. That's one thing I definitely can tell you I would do. Like someone telling me no, for example, if I asked them or asked her, I can't think of an example right now, but just something that I need. And then she's like, girl, no, you know, like, no. And then me not internalizing it and turning it into this big major problem or telling myself this, creating this drama and this story in my mind, which then in turn would have me either like guilting her into, like trying to guilt her into doing it, right? Or, you know, her saying no and then me being all in my feelings to where I just have to, I just want to cut off communication, like just cut her off because she told me no, right? That is definitely something the old Bree would do. Like, you telling me no, you're gone. You're gone, okay? That's just how the old Bree operated. Not all the time, but there would be specific times. And it was because I didn't feel like my needs were being met, and like my needs were more important, not your needs. And so if you told me no, probably out of just feeling like I was being let down or abandoned or something, like it would cause me to shut down, and I would just, it would just be a whole situation. If some, like if you told me no, and you're supposed to be my girl and you're telling me no, right? Versus me honoring her humanity, her mental health, et cetera, et cetera, and allowing her to have space to say no and to have autonomy over her life and her body. Does that make sense? So that's number two. Like, do you allow her space to tell you no without it becoming this problem, this situation, right? The third thing that I would say, this one is hard for me to say. This is hard for me to admit, but this is my truth, y'all. The third thing that I would say is, do you make room for her to win? And when she's winning, do you celebrate with her? Do you make room for her to win? And when she's winning, do you celebrate her? Y'all know a part of my story and how I felt like all my life I had to fight. I know that's like a big key, but I'm just saying that's like my truth. Like that's how I felt, right? All my life I had to fight. I felt like nothing ever went my way. And some of it was like this trained behavior of woe is me. As soon as the smallest thing went down or went wrong, it was just like I went into victim mode, right? Because in my past, I just had so many things just kind of like dominoes, right? Not going in my favor, or these bad things that I experienced or that happened to me, that I guess it kind of like trained my brain to like, first of all, always expect the worst, number one. But number two, back to this point that I'm making, like if someone else was winning, if someone else had a success, if someone else was celebrating something, like I would just make it about me. And I would, again, be in my feelings, going back into victim mode, saying, woe is me, nothing ever goes my way. And then also either like half-ass celebrating, but it wasn't like a genuine celebrate, like it was phony. You know what I'm trying to say? Or just like not acknowledging the win, or just making it seem smaller than it was to her. Does that make sense? So again, not making room for her to win. Y'all, I can be honest with you. Some of the, just the wounds run deep or ran deep with me. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I am able to speak with a therapist a couple of times a month. Thank you, God. But recently, but even before that, over the last few years, just really addressing those wounds and those experiences that I've had, that controlled me, controlled my emotions, controlled my behaviors, controlled how I felt about myself, et cetera, et cetera, that then in fact would show up in the things that I would do to other people. Right. So I don't, I don't see a lot of people talking about this kind of stuff. But when you come to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, like you're going to get the real. I'm not going to hide behind the things that I've done, because it's not healing for me.
This episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
And, you know, the things that we hide are the things that we have shame about. And a part of liberation for me, which I'm huge on, like, is about no longer, like, hiding behind things, if that makes sense. Bringing things to light so that I can release all the shame, right? Release all the shame and all the judgment that I have about myself around certain things. So, yeah, so that's number three. Like, someone like my bestie, thank God she's still my friend, you know. When I was in my, or when we were the same age, when we were in our 20s, my 20s, y'all, woof, my 20s were something else. Like, I was a hot mess express. My 20s were something else. And, man, if I could go back in time, woo! But, you know, I was fresh out of leaving my mama's house, and with me, I took along these really hurtful and harmful things, like, in my luggage, if that makes sense. Like, I did not pack light, if you get what I'm saying. And so, ended up moving in with my bestie. And we lived together for, I don't even know how many years. Man, I can't even think about it. I'm trying to think on the fly and I can't. But we lived together for, gosh, maybe 10 plus years. I'm not exactly sure. But during that time, I was not always a good friend. My traumas would just show up in the nastiest of ways sometimes. And bless her heart, like, she was just a very kind person. She really, and she still is. She's a very kind person, and she was a very kind person. Not saying that she was perfect and didn't have her things too, because we all do, but I'm just talking about me and taking ownership of my things right now, right? but there were times where I was just not a good friend. So, and I was jealous of her too. So jealous of her because she had things in her life that I never had access to, and I allowed those desires to manifest into jealousy and manifest into self-loathing and just how I felt about myself, right? Like, she had her dad. I never had a dad, so I was jealous of that. She had a good relationship with her mom. I didn't, so I was jealous of that. She had sisters. I didn't. I was jealous of that. She stayed with a man, as in she, you know, she always, I shouldn't say always had a boyfriend, but you know, she was, like, dating because she was just cute and bubbly. I mean, she's still cute, but you know what I'm saying. Like, cute and bubbly and all that stuff. And so she would have dates and stuff like that. And I would be at home like the sour Betty. Sourpuss Betty. Not going out. And then after I had my kid, I was, oh,
because I was 27 or 28 at the time, and she was going out, and I had to be at home with a kid. Oh, my goodness. Like, what? So I was at home being a bitter Betty, and she was going out living her best life. And, you know, that's just what my truth was. And so I'm thankful that over the years, I was able to screw my head on straighter than it was at the time. And it took time, y'all. It took time. This was not like an overnight thing. And I'm guessing that these experiences that I went through, I'm not saying I'm glad that they happened, but if I have to be thankful for it, everything that I've experienced, you know, I guess I am thankful for it in the way that I can come here on the podcast and show up and talk to you about them. Because if I'm able to help someone avoid some of the pitfalls, if you will, or self-sabotage, if you will, then, you know, sharing my story, that's what I do it for. But going back to my point number three, like, do you make room for her to win? And then do you genuinely celebrate with her when she's winning, right? And then the last thing that I would say, just pulling on my personal experience, is like, do you give her room to feel her emotions without like trying to circumvent them or like erase them, like erase her emotions so that you can feel better? And that's something else that I would do. I wasn't good at dealing with emotions, and I still struggle with this a little bit. And actually, in fact, I'll tell you a really quick story. So my daughter, I always talk about my daughter, right? But so my daughter recently, she had called me crying. And so when I answered the phone, all I hear is her crying and trying to talk. And so I was instantly, boom, I was triggered. Not my finest moment, but I was triggered because there's something about, and I guess this is something I need to talk to my therapist about, but there's something about someone calling me and they're crying. And I do know a bit about what it's rooted in, but I haven't fully like processed these things. Just something about phone calls and like bad news. Like, so when my brother passed, I know I'm jumping around, but when my brother passed in 2017, I'll just let you know that I'm the one that got the phone call. So my cousin called me because someone, I don't even know how he found out. I think a cousin called him, and then the cousin tried to call my mom, but her phone's probably off or on do not disturb. And then, so he called me. It was probably like 2:00 in the morning, y'all. And I was petrified because, you know, nobody's calling you at 2:00 in the morning with wonderful news. Oh, you just won the lottery. Like those calls, they probably do happen maybe every blue moon, maybe. But we all know that if somebody's calling you at 2:00 in the morning, it's probably not for a good reason. And so the first time that he called, I was triggered because I think I heard the phone ring. I didn't answer the phone. I knew who it was. I wasn't scared who was calling, but I just knew it was going to be bad. And so I didn't answer the phone. And I think he called twice. I didn't answer the phone. And so I had to put on my big girl panties and call him back at like 2 something in the morning. And that's when I found out that my brother had been killed. And that was hard to get that kind of phone call. And so there's been other little things like that, but there's just something about getting that phone call and knowing that there's bad news and you don't yet know what that other person is going to say, right? That's something that kicks in some type of response in me. And so when my daughter called and she's crying, I was triggered. And so I kind of snapped, like, what are you crying for? Right? Why are you crying? Because I couldn't understand what she was saying. What are you crying for? Because I'm in a panic at this point. And so, very long story short, I found out what it was. She had gone through something. And so I picked her up from work immediately. And I sat with that for like a day. And then the next day, we had a conversation. And I told her what was going on. And I apologized. And I told her why I had that response. Just so she knows that I'm working on it. What I did was not acceptable. And, you know, but also that I'm human. And that, you know, I can apologize when I'm wrong. And I did that also because I want her to know that if someone does something that is harmful, they should be big enough to come to you and apologize. I want her to always feel worthy of an apology when it's necessary. So there was a lot of moving parts to that. I hope you're still with me. But yeah, going back to like emotions, do you give her room to feel her emotions without trying to erase them to make you feel better? I know that I have some trigger points when it comes to emotions, like the hard emotions. And so what I used to do was like try to rush them like out of their feelings. Like, oh, it'll be okay. You know, you'll be better tomorrow. It'll be fine tomorrow. I am the person that told someone, and this is so embarrassing, and I'm sorry that I did this, but when someone's parent passed away, I was the person who told them in our conversation, well, you know, at least she's in a better place. Y'all don't come for me, because I already know. I already know. Uchale, right? When someone is having those hard emotions and it triggers me, it's just like you want to move them along in their feelings and try to give them a bright side. So it's not like it's done out of malice, but it's not good. It's not good, right? It's not good. And so those are that is a way that you are not being a safe space. Like if she can't come to you and just tell you how she feels without you trying to like take ownership of her feelings or move her along in the feeling spectrum, if that makes sense, or try to make her happy, right? Or demand that they have certain emotions around you. Like that's not healthy at all. And that is something that I did. But that was, again, like old Brie. And I'm not saying that I now do these things perfectly. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm much more aware. And I've definitely done a lot of healing when it comes to these things. Because I want to be able to support Black women. I can tell you that the reason why it was hard for me in the beginning or for all those years is because I didn't feel supported. I didn't feel like I had a safe space. And so it was hard for me to give what I didn't know how to give or what I never received. Does that make sense? But when you start healing and embracing wholeness, like when you learn better and you know better, you start to have the capacity to do better. Not perfectly, just better. Did you catch that? Again, you have the capacity to do better. Not perfectly, just better. Just better, right? So again, those four ways, if you're keeping notes here, I'll give you those four ways again and see if any of them resonate with you. They may not. Maybe one of them does. Maybe all of them do. Maybe none of them do. And you feel like you kind of can identify someone in your squad that is kind of similar in action to what I've just talked about, right? It's all relevant. Okay. So again, those four ways are, or those four questions, maybe let's say that. Do you give her grace? Do you allow her to tell you no without it turning into a problem? Number three, do you make room for her to win? And then on top of that, do you celebrate that win with her? And number four, do you give her room or make space for her to feel all of her emotions, even happiness? I didn't even think about that. Even happiness. But like, do you give her room to feel all of her emotions without like trying to circumvent those emotions or like erase them? Like, do you do emotional erasure? I don't even know if that's a thing, but I'm calling it a thing, like emotional erasure, so that you can feel better, right? I just want to reiterate that I allowed my triggers to, like, almost lose out on some like great friendships. My wounds, my pain, my low self-worth, and honestly, emotional immaturity showed up, like judgment, jealousy, like all kinds of things when I was triggered and didn't know how to process like how I was feeling or even why I felt the way I felt. And so that's what it was. That's what it was. Again, if you're listening to this episode and you're like, oh, you know, number three is hitting some kind of way. Like, I just want to make sure that you understand that this is not a judgment and shaming episode. This is more about, how about this? It's kind of like opening the blinds and letting some light in. Because again, when you know better, you do better. So where do you go from here if you can identify with any of these things? Sometimes you're able to just have self-awareness and you can work through it. You'll be mindful of it. You're like, ooh, I heard how I said that. And it may take a day or two or a week, but, you know, as you become more self-aware, you'll kind of go back to the little things you've done in your mind. You might say, ooh, you know, I didn't handle that the best way. Let me go and talk to sis real quick and let her know, you know, where I was coming from. And if necessary, of course, apologize. So the more you are able to prioritize your healing, you're like, again, you're opening the blinds. And that healing, it does show up and it will manifest in a bunch of ways. Okay. But if you need to take it a bit further, don't be ashamed to reach out for therapy. There is no shame in therapy. Therapy is a beautiful thing. These people are experts to help you think about things in a different way. Think about things in a new light. Offer ways and modalities to heal. Because again, sometimes those, or not sometimes, all the time, or a lot of times, those childhood traumas and even the things that we may not have experienced, but, you know, going to like epigenetics, which is a conversation for another day. Think about all the traumas that our people have experienced in the last few hundred years. Those things don't just magically disappear. They're passed down one way or another. Our bodies recode themselves and different triggers or happenings will occur based on trauma that you didn't even personally like experience. But it can still be like a trigger in your body for whatever reason. So there's no shame in therapy. There's no shame in getting help. There's no shame in even just talking about it. Again, in shedding light on it. There's no shame in any of that. Because again, what's brought to light, once you start to bring those things to light and you can be real about just things that either happened to you or your experiences or things that you've done and do it in a way full of grace and no judgment, that's when those like shackles of shame and guilt and judgment start to just fall off. And the less weight you carry, like the less baggage you're carrying around. Can you imagine how much more liberating life can feel without all that dead weight? I know that I can, for sure. All right. So you have those four things to think about. If you have any questions, let me know. If you want to take your self-care a little bit further, come and join me on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/browngirlselfcare. We are having our first self-care support meetup online. I believe it's on July 18th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Again, patreon.com/browngirlselfcare. Support Brown Girl Self-Care on Patreon, and you'll have access to bonus like self-care content, including bi-weekly self-care support groups. All right. So that's that on that. Before I go, as always, I would love it if you found benefit from this podcast, this episode specifically. Please be kind and go to either iTunes or wherever you're listening to this show and be sure to rate it 5 stars. Plus, leave a review. Other than that, have a blessed week. Have an abundant week, y'all. And I'll see you next Monday on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast.
Yeah. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.